Vanchakapa-trubhyascha kripa-sindhubhyevacha patidanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasidigaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
That's called a sutra. It's short for the whole verse. Can anyone figure it out? It's around 100 different Sanskrit words. Translation. The translation is as big as the purport. So we repeat the translation. It's like reading the whole purport. Personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc is called Hari Chakra. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spending the lives of the living entities, from Brahma down, Lord Brahma down to the insignificant blade of grass. Thus one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity, and thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is the indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead of takes shelter of a man-made god described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither vultures, buzzards, crows, nor herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Usually we say dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, but here we're saying buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. So, in case you when you're preaching, if you want to use a little variety in your in your statement, you can change it to birds rather than animals. Purport. Here it is stated, Harim vina mrityim na taranti. No one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Mam eva ye prapadyante Mayam etam tarantite. Whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in this age of Kali. There are many Pashandis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left his Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, not referring to these as authorized scriptures. Rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. This is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Pashandis and atheists who are cheaters are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadya Deva Satarne Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishinha. This is a verse I've repeated many times. Balasyaneha sharanam pitro nrsingha. Actually, our philosophy is quite simple. It's repeated again and again in different ways. And one of the major aspects of the philosophy is that we have a problem. We have many problems, but we have one main problem. That is, we're about to leave our bodies. And most people will agree that's a problem. But most people won't agree that there's a solution to the problem. They think, if I can extend my life for another year, I've solved my problem. There was one Indian gentleman. He was 85 years old. He had a triple bypass heart operation. So his son, who's a devotee, told his father, he said, "Father, it's time to get serious about Krishna consciousness." But his father said, "No, why?" He said, "I already had my operation. I'm all right now." One is thinking, somehow or another, everything's all right. I've solved my immediate problem, and now things will be all right. But Mrityu Sarvaharas Shaham, Krishna says, I'm death, and I come and take everything away. Of course, because we don't believe that at death everything's going to be taken away, we don't worry about it until we're just about to die. A few seconds before we die, we might think, maybe it's true. Maybe I might die. That's amazing. And then we die. But before that, the idea is that we should be considering, an intelligent person who can consider what my next destination is. The problem is we've been trained not to think that there is any next destination. We've taken for granted that my present existence is everything. We can conceive there can be another life, another existence different from this one. Or what to speak of the idea that after leaving this body, I might enter into a lower species of life. Or even become a higher species of life. Or to go back to Godhead. Therefore, we think if I can figure out enough solutions to my problems, then I won't have any problems anymore. But balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha. That the child, he may have very nice parents, and they may try to take care of the child in the best way possible. But still the child may die anyhow. And even if the child lives and grows up and becomes an adult, still, they're going to die anyhow, no matter how much the parents try to take care of the child. At any stage of life, all of us have to succumb to death. We have to leave this body. Either today, no one is thinking, oh, how is it possible today? Death is going to take me away. But that day will come, and we'll also be surprised. Thousands of people get into their cars in America thinking that we're on the top of the universe. We're the highest manifestation of goodness that ever has existed. the highest progress. I'm going to be an American, and we're going to progress to the moon, to Mars, and beyond the universe, and we're all going to become this and that. And they're riding in the car and crash, and they become a frog. Maybe in America, maybe in Belgium, who knows? Now I'm proud I'm from Belgium or from America, but will I be proud if I become a Belgian frog or an American frog? Because our minds, we think, oh, this is very harsh criticism, this is fanaticism, why should we worry about that? But look at how many frogs there are and how many human beings there are. Look how many ants there are. Look how many flies there are in Radhadesh compared to the devotees here. We may think we're living in Radhadesh, but also the flies are also living in Radhadesh. The advantage is that they don't have to pay any of the bills here. And the food is absolutely free for them. No one will ever say, wait a second, that's €3. Even the fly agrees, yes, I'd like to pay, but I have no money. What to do? Then the idea is, why is that someone is a fly, someone is a human being, someone is a demigod, someone is in the spiritual world? Because some people follow Krishna's instructions and some people don't. Because within the heart, they can accept, they can be a god. Now, how can we so boldly say that there is a god in the face of so many erudite scholars and religionists and so many different scientists and philosophers, and they've never said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Just a group of fanatical Hare Krishnas are trying to spread that message, but they themselves, if you ask them sincerely, have you seen God? They'll go, no. Then why are you so fanatical about your belief? You haven't seen God. Have you met him? No. Then why are you so much convinced? Because we have enough intelligence to see that there is a order in the universe. Things are going on with great intelligence, and none of our scientists who are supposed to be so advanced have been able to duplicate even a fraction of the order and control that's going on in the universe. They may make some machine, as I sometimes say, they may make a Rolls Royce. So that's very nice. We give them the credit. It takes intelligence. I could not make a Rolls Royce. But then again, I'm not claiming to be Krishna either. So I don't have to show you that I can make a Rolls Royce to compete with you. But we've already seen that Krishna, he can make a much better things than Rolls Royces. If you can have a female Rolls Royce and a male Rolls Royce, and when they get together, they make little Rolls Royces, that would be very impressive. That way you feed it enough oil and enough gas. It grows up and we get big Rolls Royces. And everyone can have their own Rolls Royce, their personal Rolls Royce. And can, you know, have a family Rolls Royces if you want. But they can't do that. All they can do is make one kind of machine. But Krishna has made male and female machines and 8,400,000 species of life. Therefore, we're much more impressed by Krishna's machines. Because Krishna says it's a yantra. After all, it's a vehicle that the living soul, ourselves, we're riding on. I'll go from here, I'll go here, up the stairs. The machine's dead, but I'm certainly, at least, I think I'm alive. Many people may disagree, but at least I have the conviction that I'm conscious and alive. After I leave my body, the body will be, as it always is, dead. We have the conviction that there is a person who's behind the universe. Who that person is, you can ask any philosopher or religionist, they don't even consider who that person may be because they have no idea. Therefore, we're putting forward Krishna as that supreme personality of Godhead, as the controller behind the universe. And since we're the only ones who are putting forward any logical, reasonable person behind the universe, therefore we get one vote. Each one of us will vote for him, and he wins because there's no one else running against him. We may say, well, we have a conception of God. He's sitting on a big chair, and he's counting everyone's sinful, everyone's pious activities, and he's going to throw everyone into hell who doesn't obey him, etc. That's their conception of God. Not a very all-attractive conception. But after all, if God is the source of everything, he must be a little bit more capable of doing something than just throwing souls into hell. Rah, you rascal. You next. He must be a little bit more intelligent than just sit there in a chair and not do anything but throw people to hell and hand out harps and horns. He must be a little bit more. If we can have our Olympics and people can run around and jump and spin and... So God must be a little... He must be the greatest Olympian. He must also enjoy swimming. And indeed, he comes as a fish. If he wants to swim, he can become a fish. Let the best swimmer in the Olympics become a fish and then compete. But Krishna can become whatever he wants because he's all-powerful. In any case, we say that they say, or Krishna says, yakshasvasam. Pravritim cha nivritim cha jana na vidur asura na socham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. People who are not God conscious, they don't know what's to be done. What do we mean by that? Certainly they're doing many things. And some of them, in some respects, can be appreciated. But why does Krishna say pravritim cha nivritim cha? Because they're not trying to solve the ultimate problem they have. They're trying to, more or less, avoid the problem of growing old, becoming diseased, and then dying, and then having to take rebirth. They've more or less made some superficial adjustment and at the same time forgetting about the problem. We have so many breaths, we can solve the problem and become eternal. But because people have no idea, they have no belief in it, therefore they don't try for it. They just waste their time running around a track or swimming in a pool or whatever they do, riding their car down to go to the movies. They don't realize they're just wasting their time. And what's the problem? Nasacham napichachara nasocham chapi vidyate. Nasocham napichachara nasatyam teshu vidyate. They're not clean. Their consciousness is just desiring so many things in this world. And they're not truthful. They're not really becoming honest with themselves that we're having a hard time becoming God in this world and maybe we should find out who the real God is. Satyam apratishtam te jagaya hor nishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. They say the whole world is unreal. That there is no foundation, there is no God in control. It's produced a sex desire and has no cause other than lust. In other words, they're not worrying about God because they don't believe he exists. Therefore, why worry about someone who doesn't exist? And they think everything's just going on by accident. So whatever's happening to me by now, for now, unless I'm trying to take control of the situation to the best I can, it's just an accident. What's happening to me now and what's going to happen to me in 10 years from now, it's all just like an accident. It'll just happen. Because there's no foundation, there's no God in control. And if anything's motivating this world and moving it around, it's lust. Men are trying to attract women are trying to attract men, Therefore, these big skyscrapers go up, and all the new adventures go on, and the dresses, and the malls, and the cars, and the schools, and everything else. It's just all based upon trying to become happy in the material world through sense gratification. And that's it. That's reality. That's what we're supposed to do. And anything beyond that is just part of some kind of dream that people are having, some kind of sentimental illusion. They've manufactured a God because they can't face up, or they're not able to compete with everyone else for sense gratification, and therefore they've dropped out, and now they're sitting around chanting Hare Krishna. But Krishna says, Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano na buddhaya pravanyugra karmana shaya jagatohita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac, they create horrible and beneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So in the absence of the surrendering to Krishna, who's all good and wants to do good for everyone, who only has everyone's good at heart, and who knows exactly what's to be done so that everyone can be benefited, when you reject the good, then what happens? Where do you wind up? If you have one and you take one away from it, what do you wind up with? Not very much. And if you take 15 away from one, then you're even more trouble than you began with. They reject Krishna's instructions. They don't want to find out about Krishna. They don't believe in Krishna. They don't believe in the soul. They don't believe in karma. They don't believe in transmigration. They don't believe in any of these things. They're working hard to so-called become happy in the material world. Nite vidu swartikatim mitirana krishne paratakshito va mito bipadyeta griha vratanam. They don't even consider listening to Krishna. And even they sit there and listen for a little, but they don't really want to listen. It just doesn't fit in to what their plans are. And therefore, they don't really want to concentrate and accept it. You tell someone your body's changing, it doesn't compute because they don't want to listen to you. What do you mean my body's changing? They'll say, no, I'm exactly the same person I was I'm not changing at all. I'm always the same person. My body is exactly the same. Even when I was in the womb of my mother and now there's no difference. It's just changed, that's all. There's absolutely no difference, it's just change. So that seems perfectly logical to some people. And there's no further consideration because otherwise it'll spoil the whole thing. You don't accept it, that means you're a fool. That something can be exactly the same that's always changing. That and one hand clapping makes a lot of sense. I'm exactly the same I was as when I was in the womb of my mother. There's absolutely no difference between my body now and before except that it's changed. And we say the soul is within the body. And that's not changing. No, I'm always changing. The body is exactly the same, but I'm always changing. I'm a completely different person than I was when I was five years old. Yes, that's true. Our personalities, hopefully, are somewhat different than when we were 5 years old. And our perception of existence and life is certainly different. What we're experiencing as this body is different. But the person who's going through all these different things, that's the same person. I was dreaming last night. I was a general in the army. And certainly my way of dealing with people would be different as a general in the army and my activities. But I was there as the general in the army. And then I woke up and now I'm here. So who is the general? It certainly wasn't this body. It was me in that existence, and now I'm in this existence. So the conclusion is, I'm the soul who's conscious of an ever-changing body. But they don't accept that. They don't want to hear even the first instruction of Krishna. They have a problem. The material world is a problem for everyone. We're temporary, we're going to grow old, and with old age there's disease, and therefore I'll need medicine, I'll need someone to take care of me, to feed me when I can't, this body doesn't move anymore, and, you know, who loves me really, that they're going to spend time, you know, when I'm 90 years old, changing my diapers or something. Who's going to be able to take care of me? So this big problem, everyone, Social Security, social benefits, hospitals, red lights. Everyone's afraid in this world. We're going to die. And everyone's trying to make some solution to the problems, either individually or collectively or by a combination of both. But Krishna is out of the question. Krishna's instructions are out of the question. It's just not why we came here. We didn't come here to the material world to become Krishna conscious. We came here to get out, to avoid Krishna consciousness. And we took birth again and again and again with the same idea in mind. Somehow or another, we're going to make another solution to our problems besides Krishna consciousness. And what is it based upon? Somehow or another, we're going to create a situation in the material world, either here or in the heavenly planets, or in some other planet, where we're going to have a nice strong body, nice family, nice society, and if we don't make it in this lifetime, our illusion will carry on to our next lifetime. And what is the whole thing? Adanta gobhira vishitam tamizram. I want to eat today, but I want to eat nicer food than I ate yesterday. I want to sleep, but I want to sleep more comfortably than I did yesterday. Especially in this age, sex life has been glorified. I want to have unlimited sex life with everyone and everything at any time. I want to become a super James Bond, not just an ordinary James Bond. And I want to be able to destroy all my enemies. If I get some disease, then we destroy them. We throw in the antibiotics and they explode. Maybe half my body explodes along with it, but I kill the disease. And if that doesn't work, there's some pain, we throw in some steroids, we just keep on throwing things in, and if that doesn't work, then we cut things out, and then we replace them with plastic or metal or something. And somehow or another, we're going to try and survive by advancement. But what happens? Adanta gobhira vishitam punak punas charavita charavanam. The whole unfortunate. We're always crying. It's so unfortunate. He tried so hard. He was a good person. He tried to feed the poor. He tried to help people. He did so many things. He tried to help himself in so many ways. And he died. How unfortunate. But it won't happen to me because science will save me. Science will come up with a solution before I leave my body. They'll find the immunization against death. Anyone who has some faith like that, then obviously they haven't been very paying attention. But actually, the real solution is to take shelter of Krishna. Now, taking shelter of Krishna will not prevent our body from growing old or becoming diseased or any of the other things that we're trying so hard and sincerely to avoid. It won't stop any of those things. Then people will say, well, then what's the use of the Krishna consciousness movement? Why should you waste our time? You're not really trying to solve our problems. You're useless. That's why you people just sit around and chant Hare Krishna and, you know, whatever. You eat all day and smile and chant. Because you already know that you already concluded you can't solve the problem, so you've just given up. You can't face the world, and so you've dropped out. But we, at least, we have a noble venture to solve the problems. At least we're trying. You people are useless. Parasites. Worse than parasites, because you eat a lot. No, we're not trying to solve old age, disease, and death and stop our body from dying and growing old. It's a useless... We're trying to get out of the material concept of life so that we don't have to take another body and go through the same thing again. Death is inevitable for everyone. We've already recognized that. But we can transcend death by becoming Krishna conscious. And we do that by following the directions and guides of a person who knows how to get us out of old age, disease, and death. And many, many persons in the path have taken to Krishna's path and become successful. And what is that path? It is very simple in this age. Take shelter of Krishna somehow or another, especially through the chanting Hare Krishna, and give up our anxiety. What does that mean, give up our anxiety? Does that, I'm going to die, I'm going to grow old, I'm going to become diseased, I'm going to go through so many difficulties in this world. Why should I give up my anxiety? We should give up the endeavor to try to solve all these problems. Not, of course, we don't feed the body. It's not that we don't sleep. But we don't have this idea, oh my God, I'm going to die. What should I do? I should chant Hare Krishna. That's what I should do. And get free from our anxiety that somehow or another I'm going to disappear and my life is going to be wasted. You know, if I chant Hare Krishna and just become receptive to the holy name and feel Krishna's presence, then I'll wake up. The body's not going to wake up. I'll wake up. And when I wake up, then there I'll become abhayam, fearless. If I realize I'm Krishna's servant, then I'll become fearless. So we can practice being Krishna's servants with this body. Do something to please Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and then Krishna says, the dhammi buddhyo gamtam, I mean, in our heart, these things will become real to us. Rather than just in some book, theoretical book we're reading, we'll actually realize Krishna, we'll realize our real identity, and we'll become fearless in any circumstance in the material world. As our heart becomes purified, then we'll be able to relish every moment in Krishna consciousness, and we won't worry. Prabhupada was a perfect example. Prabhupada's teeth would become loose. Most people would become very disturbed if you just kind of like put your toothpick in your mouth and, you know, you try to clean your teeth, and the teeth were wiggling along with the teeth, with your toothpick. Prabhupada used to do that. He'd put the toothpick in and try to clean his teeth. And his Arisari would say, you could see his teeth, all his teeth and his gum is moving. We'd immediately run to the dentist, save me, save me. My teeth are falling out. And sometimes Prabhupada's mouth would be just like, he'd have some kind of abscess or something in his teeth. And his whole side of his cheek swelled up. He couldn't eat anything for days. And Prabhupada was completely calm, unperturbed by the whole thing. He didn't think, oh my God, my gum is swelled up, and because he didn't think he was his gum. Sometimes Prabhupada's teeth would fall out and he put it underneath his pillow. Harisari Prabhu has one of those teeth. He has it in a little enclosed. And in the tooth, there's a little cardamom, there's some cardamom in the tooth also. Because Prabhupada's teeth became, you know, there were holes in them. So when he eat prasadam, then some of the things like the spices would fall in. But Prabhupada was never perturbed. Even he had his heart attack. They wanted to operate on him. I guess they did operate. They did something. And Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna during the whole operation. And the doctor was complaining, this old man won't stop chanting. They don't understand. But we should try to understand how in any circumstance we take shelter of Krishna, and that will be the solution to our problems, not the body's problem, not the other body's problems, but our problem. So we don't have to, at least we'll be doing something for our benefit, our real benefit, rather than to what everyone else says will be our benefit, because they don't really know what their benefit is. How can they tell us what our benefit is? So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes.
We didn't come to the world to become Krishna. Most people in the world didn't take their birth with the idea, this lifetime I'm going to become Krishna conscious. No, this lifetime I'm going to build a bigger bridge, I'm going to become famous, I'm going to become rich, I'm going to enjoy. Because, why? I say most people, rarely, sometimes. It's a big universe with hundreds of quadrillions and quadrillions of living entities here. So even the waves of the incarnations are coming just like in waves, but compared to the number of people who are serious about becoming Krishna conscious, in comparison to the total number of living entities, it's very small. But still, Krishna is interested. Anyone who has some interest, Krishna gives all opportunity to make progress in the spiritual life. Therefore, he has to constantly send his representatives just to keep interest going. If Krishna said, well, there's not much interest in this universe, no one really likes me, and therefore everyone can live here for the whole life of Brahma, and just eat, sleep, mate, and defend for all I care, but I'm packing up, I'm going back to Vaikuntha. No, it would be a very unfortunate for us. But Krishna is very kind. He loves the living entities. He'll give all opportunities, and therefore he sometimes comes personally himself, where he sends his representatives, and keeps on trying to inspire people to become Krishna conscious. It's out of Krishna's compassion. And Krishna says, many people will take it up. Many people will become serious and go back to Godhead. So we should be one of those fortunate people. And if not, if we want to stay here, at least we should become fully Krishna conscious. So if we take birth as a devotee in our next lifetime, we'll be able to fully engage ourselves in devotional service and not, you know, battle with our minds whether I should love Krishna or love someone else. At least we've fully fixed in complete service to Krishna, so then we'll actually be liberated, even though we apparently may be in a material body. Yes. You know, in this respect, time is referred to as, everything is revolving in the material world, and that revolution is called time, under the influence of time. So whether time is, Krishna says, time I am, kalosmi lokashe krit prarido lokansa maharatamiha pruritak itepi tuam nabha vishanti sarve yevastita pratyukeshu yoda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, I have come here to engage all these people. It's engaging everything. Everything is spinning by time. The atom is spinning. The cells are spinning. Everything's moving and wearing out according to time. So it's an energy of Krishna, ultimately. I mean, Krishna has his weapon called the Sudarshan Chakra, which spins also. But time is spinning everything in the world also. So whether you consider the Sudarshan Chakra or some other chakra, chakra means spinning around. So that chakra, that little chakra, is destroying everything, even down to the atom. The spinning around. The energy that causes things to spin, grow old, and eventually disappear. But Krishna also has his personal weapon in case he wants to personally kill someone. Or whatever, yes, I guess that's what he uses it for. And he has that weapon too. But time is spinning also. And that's all under Krishna's control too. Anything else? Yes. Yes. You can be a little god if we surrender to the big god. Then we can become a little god. But we're a tiny little god. Krishna is an unlimited god. How can you understand? Well, if they surrender to the big god, just like how do you know if the iron's in the fire? You can put it in the fire and watch it get hotter and hotter and hotter. And if you touch it, then you'll find out it's quite hot. You can tell if a person's a little god if they repeat the same thing that the big god says. And if they act according to the big god's direction, that means then they're in the fire of the big god. The little spark, when it's in the big fire, it glows. And when it's out of the fire, then it gets extinguished. So when we're in the big fire, then we become illuminated. And when we're out of the big fire, we become extinguished. Yes. We can read, try to use our intelligence. If that doesn't work, then we can try to become Krishna conscious by serving Krishna, and then gradually these things will be revealed to us, because we'll start to notice that our body actually is changing a little bit. It is growing old. Just like, for instance, if you're here in Radhadesh and you want to go to Brussels. So when you're going to Brussels, you're going to pass Namur. So when you're passing Namur, you'll know you're heading for Brussels. So here we are now, we may be 10 years old or 20 years old or 50 years old, whatever we may be. So we pass Namur, and eventually we'll know we're about to arrive in Brussels. Therefore, we might start considering that maybe I will arrive in Brussels if I keep on following this path. If that doesn't make us afraid, don't worry. Eventually you will arrive in Brussels. You'll get closer and closer and closer, and then it might become more evident that, in fact, we're actually getting there. So now we may not take it seriously, but our lifetime is so insignificant, it doesn't really make any difference, because soon we're going to grow older and older. We just stay fixed in our service to Krishna, then the seriousness of our situation will gradually be revealed to us automatically. More by Krishna's mercy. That's the best thing. Listen, try to develop our intelligence, and the more intelligence we have, the more we'll be able to see things properly. Or as Krishna says, if you simply become constantly devoted to me and you worship me with love, then I'll give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So ultimately, it's Krishna who bestows this intelligence upon us if we sincerely try to serve him with love. Ourselves, we won't be able to do it. Only by Krishna's mercy will it become revealed to us. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Mm-hmm.